Is in this, Mellor? Is this Metallica? They're playing tonight, aren't they?
Is
playing tonight.
Is this Metallica, though?
The problem is...
What?
The way our music beds work, I don't always know what's playing.
It's got that sound.
And I know people on Twitch... Well, just open Twitch. They're probably making fun of us right now.
Twitch, is this Metallica?
Twitch is saying yes.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the they got that distinctive sound.
So much so that you didn't know it was them.
I'm one of those Metallica fans that when Metallica plays,
you bob your head.
This song's awesome.
Yeah.
But I've not been like I don't follow. I've never seen them play. I would like to.
Go to Lollapalooza tonight. Yeah. They're on the marquee act.
I'm not in.
My daughter's going, so
oh, is she
tonight?
Is
this... tomorrow and Saturday. This is the last voyage. I don't know what the last Star Trek movie was, but like and then you hope it goes away. Like this is it. Like this is the last time I worry about one of my kids going to Lollapalooza.
Did you give her a speech today?
I give them all a speech every day.
Every day?
No, that's not true.
What's the speech for today?
Make good decisions. That's kind of it. Like, if you can't make good decisions at this point, I don't know what to tell you. You got to move out.
She is.
That's true.
She's going to college.
In less than a month.
What happened to I quit parenting?
On a consistent basis. I only parent on, like, big events. Like, holidays and big events.
You're like Tiger. You just play the majors.
That's right. I play the majors. You're exactly right. I'm the Tiger Woods of parenting. Like, if you want to play Bay Harbor, I don't care. Like, you're playing the Masters, we're going to sit down and talk. Like, that's what we're going to do.
Like Tiger, you might give us one good outing, but 4 days in a row, no chance.
Not a chance. Like, that's right. That's exactly right. Never mind.
Dion Mellor is going to join us here in a minute. I want to play you a couple of things, though, from today. First of all, the highlight of the day that all the reporters basically agreed on, I saw Courtney tweet about it, was there was a back shoulder catch made by Cole Kmet in a 7-on-7 drill from Justin Fields. That was good to see. Luke Getsy, though, overall, he spoke today, the Bears offensive coordinator, one of the most important figures in that building right
Amen
now.
Amen to that,
Bears.
Brother.
Yeah. He was, and I like that he's, it's something that I do like. He's not scared to go up on the microphone and say when they suck today. Take a listen.
No, yeah, I'm not. We're just getting started, right? We're just getting back at this thing. for me, it's the lack of execution that I'm focused on right now. That's what pisses me off more than anything is right now is getting that stuff taken care of and getting that out of there and guys knowing what the heck to do so then we can talk about stuff like that as you get going.
I do too. At first blush, my thought is he's going to be more, he's going to be a harder grader early than he will be later. Like the last thing you want is for him to tell you in practice too, oh, guys are, they're tearing it up. We're game ready right now. I mean, he's going to, I think, be more cautious than anything at this point, but if they are doing some of the stuff he's intimating, then yeah, I mean, they got to clean some things up.
Dion Mellor does great work here on ESPN 1000. You see her on television on ABC7. She covers the Bears as well, and she joins us right now. You covered another opening of camp the other day, Dion. How did this practice that you watched to compare to some of the other years that you've covered Bears practices?
You guys, I legitimately had to consult my roster at every single turn. There are so many new faces. I don't think I've ever been around a training camp where so many guys are looking to prove themselves and know they have to find a role on this team. So many unfamiliar faces, so many guys we're getting to know. Obviously, the coaching staff is brand new, but to have the roster look that way as well, it was a different feeling. There is an energy to it. But like you just played that soundbite, I appreciate the level of reality that Luke Getsy is bringing to it. Even Cole Kmet today saying, we have a long way to go. That is evident. I think fans are going to have to be very patient. But there's always a level of energy that surrounds that starting rhythm of training camp. And that I get excited about. But then you remember it's July, and this is a rebuilding team. So everybody pace yourselves. But I think it's refreshing to hear a guy like Luke Getsy say, look, we're not going to get crazy and believe we're more ready than we are. We are not. We're going to put in the work, and we'll see what happens.
From my perspective, Dion, and I'm obviously not there, the two things that caught my attention were Lucas Patrick leaving the field with an injury, yeah, and Tevin Jenkins not even being at practice. What can you tell us about both?
Well, Tevin Jenkins, gosh, is this not par for the course? I mean, this is who he is. He's not been able to stay on the field, and it's disappointing. I think the injury, a questionable injury to Lucas Patrick, is much more of an eyebrow raise because he's expected to be a starter and a leader. And there's no clarity on exactly what went wrong. Now, I do know that he kind of got in that cart because the locker room was so far away, not necessarily because he physically couldn't walk.
That's a veteran move. We all know that. Yeah, that's a veteran.
Of course, I would have done the exact same thing. So I understand that. I'm hoping that tomorrow they'll tell us a little bit more. They had no details to offer. He did walk off of the field on his own. They're not even in pads yet. I'm hoping this is just we're easing into things and something just didn't feel right, and rather than risk it, I'm going to be safe. I hope that that's what that is. But who knows at this point? It's disappointing. Tevin Jenkins, though, guys, like that is a huge disappointment for a guy that has obviously said all the right things. He just can't be on the field. And this new regime doesn't have time for that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. That offensive line room is crowded with veterans who want to prove that they belong. And some of them are Bears fans who want nothing more than to play for this team. So there's going to be a lot of competition there.
Deion, we don't know, though, what the situation is with Tevin, other than he just wasn't on the field again, right? Because as Coach Eberflus said, he woke up with something. So that could be an illness. It could be COVID. It could be a back injury flaring up. Yeah. Like, anything's on the table, I guess, right?
Totally. And it feels like they're treading that line so closely when it comes to injuries like this. And they're going to be very, very vague right now as the new coach, the new coaching staff, and obviously a young GM are all kind of learning on the job. They've never gone through this stuff. So how transparent they're going to be, we still don't know. I mean, he woke up with something. Well, so did I. But I'm here. Why is he not here? And, I mean, he's not even standing on the sidelines. Even Roquan Smith is there and visible. We can see him. So why is Tevin not there? So it raises a lot of questions about his durability and how conditioned he was coming into camp. Although Eberflus said everybody passed their conditioning test. So who knows? It could be an illness. It could be an allergy flare-up. It could be something with his girlfriend. Like, we don't know. But standing by and paying attention for sure.
There are two things that someone like yourself with a trained eye, I believe, can actually discern. One is speed. The other is athletic ability in general. And there's two guys that are rookies on this team. I'd be interested if those commodities have already been present with Velus Jones and Kyler Gordon from your perspective, Deion.
I've seen it with Kyler Gordon for sure, and the way their ability to move him around and his athleticism shows up on the field. Seen that for sure. Not as much with Velus. They didn't do as much, I guess, as because they're still in pads. They haven't moved forward that much, but the speed is there with him. Everybody says it. Everybody sees it when he's out there. And the maturity that he brings, I think, already shines. But Kyler Gordon, no question about it. And even Eberflus said, like, he just is able to do so much that we can move him around. And that has been a highlight for sure.
Waddle, how many guys are there who are in the same boat, whether it's Velus Jones, who's an older third-round pick?
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry, who is getting his second go-around.
Byron Pringle.
Pringle. Dante Pettis, who was drafted, I think, by the 49ers.
Tajay Sharp, I believe, is also on the roster.
David Moore, Daz Newsome, who Pace drafted. All guys, St. Brown, I don't know if I mentioned too. Like, all guys who are looking to get a fresh start with the Bears, or their initial start with the Bears. It's pretty crazy, isn't it, guys?
The N'Keal Harry, I was impressed with him talking to the media yesterday, got a lot of questions about why things didn't work for him in New England. And he said, look, I'm coming in here with a chip on my shoulder, but I'm looking forward. I needed a fresh start. The Bears need what hopefully he can bring, right? A dominant receiver who can go up and get the ball. They don't have that. That's not a newsflash. So hopefully he is able to connect with Justin, and that is something that can benefit them beyond a Darnell Mooney, who had a great catch today. Obviously, the chemistry there is there. We all know that. But for him to have a big-bodied receiver who is out to prove something, I think that can only mean good things for the offense.
Initial impressions of Justin Fields early on in year two?
Well, all right, we're so thirsty for something positive from a quarterback, for sure, which is why a deep pass in seven-on-seven drills and shells has Twitter all in a buzz on day two of training camp. But I can get behind that, right? Like, the whole season is about the development of Justin Fields. And if he can come into training camp and on day two show us that he's taking a step, whether that be with his footwork, fundamentals, leadership, ownership of the offense, anything, I think that's something to be excited about. He definitely is oozing with confidence, and it's such a stark difference from the way he came into last year as the rookie, and then even the way that he ended last year after getting so beat up. You can see it all over him. He knows that this is his team. He knows that he's QB1, and he wants to be good. And Getsy even talked about just, he's a natural-born leader. He's someone who attacks every single play and expects his teammates to do the same. And he's leading by example. And that's stuff that the Bears need, no matter who's around them. But with so many young guys, to have him setting that example and standard, I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. I've heard him mention this, too. It's tough for him to establish being a leader when last year he doesn't even know when his next rep is coming. Because right. They're trying to get Andy Dalton up to speed. He barely got any reps with the mm-hmm. starters, and he couldn't exude that confidence or establish any sort of leadership.
And at the time, honestly, Sylvie, I thought, okay, we have to get over that. He didn't get reps, but it does make a difference, right? Like, you can see it now, how valuable this is going to be for him to start from day one, getting those reps every single time, not competing for that opportunity, not competing to establish that chemistry with his receivers or his O-line or whatever. It's going to make a huge difference for them moving forward.
How about how this new staff treats veterans? Is there preferential treatment given to guys like Eddie Jackson and Jalen Johnson? Robert Quinn has earned it. I get it. I mean,
yeah.
But overall, Deonner, do you think that the message here from Eberflus and everyone else is look, this is open competition. What you've done in the past doesn't matter. What you do from this point forward is what we're going to grade you on.
I definitely think that's the approach that they're taking. And especially when you see what they're doing with Roquan Smith, right? Like, wait and see what he can do with them in charge and waiting to see what these guys can bring before they just crown them the veteran, giving them that veteran benefit of the doubt before they see what they look like following their rules and following their standard and helping those around them raise that standard around Hallis Hall. I think they're definitely sending a message that this is a clean slate for every player in this locker room. You want to be here? Show us why. I feel like that's definitely the message they're sending to this group.
Do you believe that they want Robert Quinn on this team to start the season, or are they just waiting for the right offer in your guys' opinions?
I think they want him there. I just like him so much, right? I mean, he's just so natural. I mean, yesterday he sat down and he was just like, look, I didn't want to come to mandatory minicamp because apparently he has $100,000 to throw around and it's fine. He's not worried about it. I would love to be in that position in my life at some point. But he just said, look, I didn't expect to go anywhere. I'm here. I want to be a Bear. He was very matter of fact about it. And I like that approach. He had the season of his life last year. Everything around him has changed. And he seems like mature enough coming into understanding, look, there's a level of buy-in that I have to have every time I walk in this building, no matter who the head coach is and no matter who is in the locker next to me. And that's what I'm here to do. I think that speaks volumes about where he's at. I think they're waiting to see with him, too. You look back at 2020, no one would have guessed 18.5 sacks and a Pro Bowl out of him. No one. And so now he comes into this next season, and they're waiting to see there. But from what I can see and what I have heard from Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, they want Robert Quinn in that locker room and on the field.
I would think that if somebody offered them a second-round pick, I think they'd take it. I think what Deon said, I agree with that, is that I think there are other teams out there waiting to see who Robert Quinn is.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Quinn, mm-hmm. obviously, for various reasons, in his first year in a Bears uniform, did not do anything. Last year, he set a franchise record for sacks. Like, I don't think there are teams that are in a rush to add Robert Quinn. That may change when the season begins and then teams see how their rosters fill out and who gets hurt and who doesn't. I think I still believe they want to trade him. It's just a matter of you're not going to give him away for nothing.
You know how he's going to be a guy on my list tomorrow when I do the guys who scare me.
That he may get hurt.
Because he's here, yeah. And because you've got him at peak value right now, and those seasons don't come around often. And I don't expect him to have a 2.5 sack season, but he could get hurt. he could not be nearly as good. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at a sixth-round pick. I know they want more, but it could always get worse. We've seen what happened to Allen Robinson here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know. It's what scares me, and I want them to get more draft picks, and he's one of the guys who can get you.
Or
a draft
he
pick.
Could give you a Von Miller type of situation, and that obviously also again. Had money attached to it as well. I think that they gave up what they gave up, the Rams did, I think because they also took on a large majority of that contract. But
the Broncos did, right?
Yeah, they did.
Quinn's
yeah.
not that expensive, right? Isn't that part of the thing? He's not. He's like pay per year guy.
Yeah. What is he, Dion? Probably he's probably $18 million though, isn't he?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think so. And you guys might be right that they do want to trade him. I think that if he's able to follow that up in some capacity, maybe I don't know. I think it's interesting to me that no one has come forward with an offer for him or that they haven't tried to trade him already based on what he did last year. It's something that we'll have to monitor as we move forward.
Yeah. He's 32. Is he 32 years of age?
Yeah. You know, I mean, 32. I
think he's the type of guy like that. If you're a team looking for a pass rush and you look at him, you go, well, first of all, he's 32. He's not going to have the same season this year that he had last year. So why don't we let him prove to us he can stay healthy, see where his production level is at, and then we can gauge what we're willing to give up. So I think teams that would be interested in him want to take a wait-and-see approach probably as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Dion, anything else that we need to know?
This Roquan thing is so interesting to me, you guys. And just I feel like we're watching a young GM kind of learn on the job as well, dealing with the situation for the first time. I'm so curious who is advising Roquan to go about his approach this way. And it's just very fast.
Pay your energy bills, check your energy usage, and get alerts with ComEd app, the ComEd app. Download today at ComEd.com/app for dependable information. ComEd, powering lives.
This is ESPN 1000, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is fascinating to me to see exactly. We want him to be involved and we want him to be engaged, but there's this contract talk going on, and it's just kind of a bizarre. I think I audibly gasped when I saw that they put him on PUP. I was like, what is going on here? So it's just interesting to continue to monitor. But other than that, it's training camp time. I want them now. I'm like, okay, let's just kind of get in that rhythm. Take every day, see a little bit of progress, something a little bit to get excited about, and see what happens.
Was it cool? How is the atmosphere there? Because the last couple of years since they moved back, it's been COVID and there's been limited crowds. How has it been with people back? Is it a cool environment or is it still nothing like Bourbonnais?
It's nothing like Bourbonnais. I mean, I love I miss it. I miss that drive. I miss those people. I miss that just the very natural and organic way that fans would get close to the players and get autographs and screaming for players. You miss that energy. It's different. Not terrible. It's just different. It feels a little more obviously a little more controlled and smaller crowds and that sort of thing. It still is a good experience for the fans. I don't want to say that it isn't. It still is a good experience for them. And I know that the fans that are out there love it so much, right? I mean, even yesterday we're hearing all these Go Bears chants from the stands. And I mean, just you could tell there is a camaraderie to it. It's just not the same. It's not the same. Yeah. But it's a quicker drive. I mean, I'm not mad at that.
And they get to sleep in their own beds. And they get to wake up with something. Yeah, which we don't know what it is.
And I don't have to leave the house at like 6 a.m.
It's all good. All that is good, for sure.
We look forward to talking to you all year, Dion. Thank you.
Thanks, Dion.
I'll do my best. Hey, can I say the best news of the day, though, is Sylvie, remission 2 years. Man, I'm so happy for you. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Worth celebrating.
Means a lot.
Worth celebrating.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a long road.
I think the best part is that, well, that it was clean, but also that Sylvie actually decided to forego the anesthesia so it wouldn't screw up his ability to drink tonight. That to me is a baller move.
And do the show. Like, I mean, remember,
that's a baller
after
move.
You've got the anesthesia, you're a little cloudy the rest of the day. You know how that feels, Waddle,
no
don't
doubt.
You?
Yeah, that's with or without the anesthesia.
Did we expect anything less, though?
No, I mean, absolutely not.
It's great.
No.
It's great. Amen. Gamer.
You know
he's a gamer.
That drinking life. Who are you? I mean, you fit
hello.
In perfectly with us.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
I do.
See you, Dion.
That's thanks, Dion.
All right, it's, bye, guys.
When she's great at whatever she does to begin with, TV, radio. When her and Peggy get together, they filled in for Cap and Hoodie on Friday. And when I listen to them on the weekend, it just exudes fun.
Yeah.
It's what I told. They're just themselves, and it's awesome.
Well, they're very good at their jobs, first and foremost, but they're also very fun. They're fun to hang out with as well.
And they like to drink, too. Both
yeah,
of them.
Exactly.
Peggy's always talking
when we were playing at the ESPN golf tournament, every time we'd make a birdie, Peggy would break out the vodka shooters or whatever they were out of her cooler. So...
Yeah,
she knows how to have fun.
What did she have? She had like she
it was like Fireball.
Own
it was
shots?
It was Fireball. She had small bottles of Fireball, and she had her own flask. And every time we'd make a birdie, the team had to celebrate.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
That's so good. People on Twitch are asking me like, why am I scared? Look, I mean, like in the sports context,
right? Yeah.
There are a few things I want from the Bears this year. Like you mentioned, we want Justin Fields to be good. We want Luke Getsy to make everyone better. And I think you have the best mantra. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Like your mantra 3 years ago, we went with it. We had obvious shirts printed up. Less cute, more nasty. Like all he wanted to do, Matt Nagy, was be cute.
Yeah.
Santa's sleigh. Look at what I'm going to do. Look at me. And he didn't know anything. And he'd give up on the run and all that. And so now we want like Getsy to make it make sense.
Yeah. That's a low bar. Like, I mean.
Right. And so, and then like, you could advance it a little bit. How is Roquan going to fit in? What is his salary going to be going forward? And then there are things where, how do you get better? Where are your tickets to get better? Well, you get more draft picks. You do the exact opposite of what Ryan Pace did.
Yeah.
Instead of continuing to buy everything you want at the highest price, when people are at their peak value, you sell them because they have no future on your team. And right now, in my opinion, Robert Quinn's got a pretty good value on an open market.
Yeah,
maybe it's not what the Bears want to hear, but it can always get worse. And I don't want to cash that chip in when it's not worth as much as it is now.
My guess is they feel the same way you do. I again, pure speculation. They're obviously not hearing what they want to hear.
Right.
Because there's no way they look at Robert. They respect the hell out of Robert Quinn. Don't get me wrong. There's no way that they believe that he's part of their future just based on his age. Like their future, they've got to look down the line. And then Robert Quinn's a free agent at the end of this year, correct? Like
no,
this is his last year or has he got one more?
So he's got no more guaranteed money right now.
No more guaranteed money.
But
I'm looking at sports.
Yes.
Like it looks like he's now. Did they kick the can down the road with him too, with Pace?
So he's got no more guaranteed money left on the deal, but you're right. His cap hit is 17-1 this year with a base of 12-8, but he's also under contract for 2 more years.
Right.
But again, there's no guaranteed salary attached to that, so he
could
be an easy release.
Right. So this is the end.
If he's productive, you could still have him on, under a very manageable deal if he's an edge rusher like he was last year. If he get anything close to double-digit sacks, he'd probably be kept at the numbers he's under contract for.
But what would be more valuable to this group, in your opinion? A second-round pick or a third-round pick?
Oh, yeah.
Or him sacking 10 quarterbacks on a team that wins 6 games?
If they could get a second-round pick, I would be surprised if they would say no to that.
So they can draft the next round.
Well, that's what I'm... Yeah, that's what
nobody's probably ponying up that second-round
offer. My guess is they would love to move him, not because they don't like him or don't respect him, but because they think he could bring something really valuable in return. My guess is with camp going on, it's just They're not hearing what they want to hear.
And maybe a guy or two will go down, and he will then all of a sudden get more value. Yeah. All right. The Roquan Smith pup list thing is interesting, too. I have a couple questions for you on that. We've got Waddle's World coming up. Wilbon's going to be in studio at 4. There's several things with the White Sox I want to get after as well. So if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. And also, don't forget, the weekend begins tomorrow afternoon. After you're done with your work week, come out and check us out. We're going to be at Chasers. It's Miller time in Lake Zurich. We've been there before. It's an awesome place to be. Chasers, Lake Zurich. We're broadcasting live from 2 to 6.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run. He's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports. Look at the aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. Making my head spin. How many activities you can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
This is how we do it. You know what? Let's take Joey in Melrose Park. He wants to say something to Sylvie, huh? Why don't we do that? Why don't we start off Waddle's World, which is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Joey, what do you have to say to Sylvie?
Sylvie, God bless you. Congratulations. And we're all proud of you, the sports listeners at ESPN.
Joey, that means
well
a lot.
Well said, Joey.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Tom, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Joey. Appreciate you,
take
buddy.
Care.
All right, be well. There's we'll Joey. Send you a picture of Sylvie's colon if you're nice.
Wasn't Joey on a promo once with Cap?
Wasn't I don't know. By the way, what was it that Cap said about the White Sox or whatever that you got that got twisted?
You want that now? I mean, I got two things for you.
Yeah, give me that now because otherwise we'll forget it. We've got Wilbon's coming in at 4, and then we got Jesse at 5:30.
Okay, maybe it's me. I mean, this could be a Sylvie thing. They caught my ear. All right, Tyler Meller, you guys have both. You play whichever one you want.
Ask you about the trade deadline, what Rick's big chips are that he can put in any kind of deal. I'm not talking about Juan Soto. You don't have enough to get Juan Soto.
No. That caught my ear. What do you,
you don't have enough to get Juan Soto? You do. You have to give it up.
To get Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know.
You may
know,
not maybe, like the price, but you got enough.
Yeah, maybe Cap was referring to just on prospects and keeping the major league roster together. But they've got young, controllable salaries of good players. Like, we've talked about Vaughn. We've talked about Aloy. You know, whether you have to, I don't know, you may have to get, someone mentioned you may have to give up TA in sort of, but who the headliner would be along with your prospects, I think they've got guys. I really do.
I don't believe, I think it was Jeff Passan who mentioned they would have to toss in Tim Anderson, like on Wednesday when he was on with Cap and Jesse, but I'm with you, Sylvie. If you had the appetite to give up Aloy, Vaughn, and Kopech, that should be enough, maybe another prospect from the minor league system. That should be enough to probably get the Nationals' attention at the very least. I just don't think anybody has the appetite to give up that much off of your major league roster.
Let me ask you a question about TA, who's a fabulous player. Don't you have, at the shortstop position, a couple of high-rated guys that are
a couple years away.
Colson Montgomery has had a, yeah. Yeah, but the problem is, listen,
I'm just asking, to make a deal Soto is going to cost a lot, so you're going to have to give up something.
I don't think the Nationals, I don't think Tim Anderson is the type of player they're looking for. Again, no. I think it's more like Vaughn.
Younger players.
And Aloy, who are, two young middle-of-the-order hitters who they could build around. I love Tim Anderson. He's the type of guy you want on a win-now team.
Yeah.
Whether they have the best, I don't know. But again, they have enough. So, that factually, of course they have enough to get him. No one voted for the White Sox in the 17 executives poll because they don't believe that's the type of move that Jerry does.
That's a defeatist attitude.
They don't, though. And then there is this about Kopech. Speaking of Kopech, take a listen.
You should be able to knock out the A's. Maybe you could pick up some talent while you're there playing them. Yeah.
They're going nowhere fast.
I'm telling you, you move Kopech to the bullpen and you go get a starter. But now I'm hearing the Yankees are in on Quintana. You guys were trying to trade for Jose Quintana.
I did hear that. I got to be honest with you. I don't think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Really?
You look at Kopech as well. Like, Kopech, his fastball, he's pumping his fastball at, what, 93, 94 in his most recent starts?
When is he going to – isn't this a longer play, too, with Kopech? Don't you want a rotation that features Cease and Kopech for years to come, and then hopefully Giolito comes back into form? What are you doing ping-ponging him back from starter, bullpen? He's eventually going to have to pitch and lead your rotation. I don't know what now going back to the bullpen and pitching multiple days a week does to his arm. Just because it's, quote, last innings. I don't think he was that good out of the pen at the end of last year either, to tell you the truth.
He has been less effective, wouldn't you say, recently? Like, well, there will be moments.
He's over his innings, Mark.
Right.
But again, like, Rodon has not been as good. Guys in the middle of the year have to figure it out. This is part of his growth process. This is his first year starting a full year in Major League Baseball, right? He blew out his elbow right away. He opted out then after he recovered in COVID. Last year, he was a bullpen guy. This is his first year as a starter, and now you want to pull the plug and put him back in the bullpen? And
yeah, I'm with you.
I don't like that. That, to me, is... You're cutting off your nose despite your face there.
And I'm with you, Sylvie. If that's where you're at with Kopech, you should be trying to trade him in a package for Juan Soto if you don't believe that he's going to be a starting pitcher down the road. And I don't believe the Sox think that. The truth is that he's at 88 and a third innings pitched this year. I know he's never had that in his major league career, but he grew up as a pitcher. He probably has thrown over 100 innings at some point when he was in high school. Right. So it's not like this should be to the point where the strain on the arm is to a point where you can't get past
it. Would you be shocked? Put it this way then. What would be your level of surprises as you get, let's say that they advance and they get to the postseason? And because he's reached an innings limit where he is starting to not be as dominant. Could you see a scenario where in the postseason you use him out of the bullpen and not as a starter?
Maybe.
Who do you have confidence in right now besides Cease?
That would be all about them going to a four-man rotation where Lance Lynn
Did he not also say about you were looking to acquire another starter and then
move him. Toss Quintana's name out there as well as a possibility.
If it's not your guy from the Reds, Waddle, who's out there that is better than Kopech
Castillo?
Starting? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Other than Castillo,
I don't know.
Who's out there who's better that you
maybe
can acquire right now?
Maybe this rotation just isn't as good as we all had hoped. I mean, Giolito is struggling. I mean, give him credit.
That's been disappointing.
He righted the ship after a difficult first inning. But I got to tell you, that's the Rockies. Like, when you start a game and you don't have the good stuff against better competition, it may not be just three runs that you give up.
I'm just saying that how long has it taken Cease to finally step into this, It's going to take Kopech time. You cannot take Kopech now out of the rotation because you have a bullpen issue. He's one of your promising starters.
I think the concept was, not to speak for Cap, I don't want to do that, was that if you were going to acquire another starting pitcher, you could use him out of the bullpen.
My point is, there's not that great starter out there besides Castillo, is there?
Maybe not.
No, Sylvie, you're right. Like, I'll throw Montas' name out there, but he's going to command a lot. Like, I'm with you. Like, Michael Kopech has the upside where if you get him in a short series as a playoff team going up against him, you don't want to see Kopech on the mound. You're concerned about him.
Like, he does not look... He doesn't look very good to me right now in terms of where I thought he would be.
So the answer is then pitching him one inning on a Monday, pitching him another inning on a Thursday, pitching him another inning Saturday?
Because you don't have an option. You don't have another option with regard to a starter.
I just say that that's too much on the arm. I'd rather him every fifth day go through his process, learn from it, and get through the dog days of the year. If there's no injury, if there's no soreness, you need him to grow. For future years too. This is not the last year of the window. You know, you expect your rotation to be fronted by Kopech and Cease for many years to come.
What do you think of what you've seen from him, though, lately? Like, it has, definitely not been, in the month of June, his ERA was 5.19, and so far in four starts this month, it's 4.43. I mean, yeah, it just hasn't, and in the first 2 months of the season, he was brilliant, but whatever. It's, the stuff hasn't been great. I said to you guys earlier, by the way, the weirdest thing I've seen so far, I don't know if you guys feel any differently, we've seen some woman, it is Lollapalooza officially on. We've seen a young lady walking a cat in a stroller back and forth.
Oh,
she's taking
that.
A lap.
What do you mean? So she's coming back for a second peek of you?
No, it has nothing to do with me. She walked north on State Street, and then she must have taken care of her business, and then she walked south on State Street.
She was showing off her kitty cat.
Yeah, her kitty cat was actually in a child stroller.
That is good.
And she was dressed in all black. And some high heel boots, wasn't she?
Yes. That's what they do at Lollapalooza, yeah. Right?
Well, I'm just saying,
I agree. I think that was just a coincidence.
Whatever. It's the strangest thing I've seen yet. But it's.
I don't think I've seen a domesticated cat taken out of a house.
What do you mean? I've seen cats on leashes before. It's weird.
I've never seen it before.
You really?
No.
You haven't lived.
By the way, I just got through
You need to see more cats in your life.
Season two of The Wire, where one of the guys had a duck on a leash.
Yes, Ziggy. Yeah.
A duck on a leash.
Yeah. Ziggy had a pet duck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. By the way, the injury news, obviously, we did not see Tevin Jenkins today. He was not at practice. We heard from Matt Eberflus and Carmen.
He woke up with something, so we'll see where it is.
Woke up with some. Lucas Patrick, their starting center, left. He was able to walk off the field. And Roquan is on the PUP list. There's two PUP lifts. Is he on the active PUP list?
Yeah, he's on the active
PUP. I don't know what the hell the difference is between the inactive and the active PUP list, but he's on that list as well.
The weird thing is Deebo Samuel, Derwin James, DK Metcalf are all holding in, but they're not. They haven't been placed on the PUP list by their teams.
So this means, are they doing him a favor where they're not making it awkward, or is there an injury in addition to the hold-in that we weren't aware about?
Didn't you ask him, Jeff? You asked Eberflus about what was the injury, and he skirted the issue.
Yeah, he said he wasn't sure.
Yeah,
if it was something that he had earlier, or he woke up with it.
I don't pretend to understand all the specifics with regard to the salary cap. But this, to me, sounds like a goodwill gesture to Roquan Smith so that he's not being faced with a ton of fines. But who knows?
You know what I want to know? I want to know if Poles is actively negotiating with him.
We don't know. I've heard a lot of people say, why aren't the Bears just giving him his money? What if he's asking for $30 million a year, which he's not going to get? Like, we don't know any of the specifics about the negotiations, so it's hard to have a strong thought other than, hey, if they're looking to pay him $90 million over 5 years, which is comparable to what Fred Warner and Darius, now Shaquille Leonard, make, then I don't think that is an insulting offer.
But are the Bears exchanging offers with him? You know what I mean? Is this like Contreras wanting a new offer, but the Cubs weren't interested in talking?
Yeah.
Is Poles negotiating with Roquan? That's what I want to know.
Got to tell you, neither would surprise me.
And is Roquan... Is he going in early every morning before practice starts with like an empty briefcase sitting across from Ryan Poles?
He shows
just
up
waiting, like, hey, what do you got?
That's great, with the briefcase
or
with
like
crackers in it.
Like you've said, I think one of you guys said, like, maybe they're not interested in signing him to an extension. He's making $9 million. He's under contract. Let's see how he performs. They may have just a standard philosophy right now in their first year running this organization. Have they given anybody extensions?
If you're going to give him that much money, $100 million or $90 million, whatever, you also have the backup of having the franchise tag. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That if you want to wait and say, we're not in the business of giving anyone extensions.
Yeah.
We don't want to give Roquan an extension. We don't want to give David Montgomery an extension. We want to wait and see before we do anything so you can contribute for us. You know, it's not like they're going to lose Roquan on his walk-in.
Right, and he's not going to not play because then he loses the year of on he loses the year towards free agency. So Roquan Smith not playing this year hurts Roquan Smith more than it hurts the Bears, a team that's not ready to win, because he's not going to then be a free agent because he will not have played, if you know
right.
what I'm saying.
Of course.
He won't earn the year. By the way, today's injury update for the Bears brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, and don't delay your care in person or virtually. Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu. When we come back, there are a couple of weird stories, but I also want to bring you a football story from our good friend Robert Mays. He tweeted something today. He was at Rams camp, and it's something that I think we were discussing earlier. We'd like to advance that conversation. That's next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, as I was mentioning before the break, our good buddy Robert Mays
is with The Athletic, right? Am I right about that?
I don't know where everyone is, but we'd like to accredit everybody.
The football podcast.
Yes, he's fantastic. I think he was in with you one of the days I was gone.
He was. It took a village, Waddle, to just fill in, but he is really bright.
Yeah, he is.
He's a good football
guy. Which is a good change of pace for you when you look across the table and you see someone that you can actually say that.
For both
Boy,
of us.
Boy, is he bright.
Yes.
Ooh,
someone who knows a thing or two about football.
There you go.
Someone
right.
who has Roquan Smith in their top 10
yeah.
most important
somebody
Bears.
Yes. Somebody nice. Who obviously played the game as well.
He was a nice high school football player,
of
right?
Of course, all of your high school football players are experts, right? By the way, so Robert, who we all love, said, main takeaway from 2 days at Rams camp. The staff here is in love with Allen Robinson. From his approach in meetings to what he can give them in this offense, his route tree and where he can line up are more varied than they'd even hoped. Potential monster year incoming. And Meller responded when I showed him this tweet that he's already on your radar in terms of
fantasy football
overperformer, right?
There's like no doubt about it, because you can already see it. Like, yeah. Cooper Kupp's the top wide receiver drafted in almost every fantasy football draft, and rightfully so. But the reality is that I think Allen Robinson's going to have single coverage most of the time, and you know what?
Wait till Odell Beckham comes back as well.
Robert Woods. And
they loved Robert Woods, and Robert Woods was very productive for them. Allen Robinson's a better player than Robert Woods.
I think Woods may be a better run blocker, but for fantasy purposes, yeah. I want a guy who catches the ball. And listen, I think Robinson's a better, more explosive receiver than Robert Woods.
I'm not paying a guy $18 or $17 million a year because he's a good run blocker. It's a benefit. It's a positive. But Allen Robinson, I think, listen, I like Robert Woods. I think what was he, Meller, a second or third round pick like A-Rob?
Yeah,
and really, really, really had a nice run until he tore his ACL, and then I believe he was signed by the Titans. I think the Titans signed him. They decided out in Los Angeles that Allen Robinson was a better choice than Robert Woods. I think he is. I think if Allen Robinson is right physically, I think he's going to have a big year out there.
How about this? His average draft position, Sylvie, right now, Allen Robinson. 69. Nice.
Oh, nice.
If you can get him there, value?
I've always been an Allen Robinson fantasy guy. He let me down last year, but I want to know,
even though I've moved on,
I want to know the Paul Harvey rest of the story.
I'm with you there.
I want to know, did he dog it? Because what good would that do him to dog it when you're a free agent coming up and you're playing for a contract? But then, in the same notion, why would the Bears, who are paying him on the franchise tag,
go away from him? None of it makes sense.
When you're in win mode to save your jobs, why would you freeze out Allen Robinson? None of what happened with A-Rob last year makes any sense to me.
Did you see the game plan they put in place when they gave Justin Fields the start against Cleveland?
No, I did. I don't think anyone saw the game plan.
I don't think you can come to any conclusion based on that if you want to connect the dots.
My colon was cleaner today than their game plan.
There's no doubt. The moral of my story here is that I don't know if they knew what they were doing on a number of fronts. Now, I'm not absolving him if he just decided he was going to tap the brakes. Just like you said, that's not what you should be doing on your walk season, but But that story's going to be a good one. Like, you want to hear. And I think he will tell it. Like, if he goes to L.A. and has a monster year and has a... I think that that story will come out at some point.
Like think about it. They invested in A-Rob coming off of knee surgery, ACL surgery.
Yeah.
And his first year, he got better as that first year went along. And then he really... He contributed, and it was a pace signing, and it was under Nagy. So they were all in this together. It wasn't like he was some other regime's guy.
They all benefited by him being a good player.
What hell happened?
Don't know. Like, there are so many questions, though. That's one of them. Why did you ask Justin Fields to do what you were asking to do against Cleveland? Why did it take you so damn long to install an offense with Mitch Trubisky that you saw the final five games of his last season in town? Like, there are questions. This is why the thing that kept going through my mind was, that doesn't look right. I don't understand what I'm seeing.
Right.
So, anyway, speaking of things that I don't know that I don't understand them, but they scare me. And Abdallah's been on the forefront of all this. Remember the story I brought you about the Google engineer who was telling everyone that the AI technology was starting to show emotions?
Yes.
So that it was sentient, I think is how they say it, is that the AI system could have feelings and emotions. Well, that scared the rat's ass out of me. Now this story, chess-playing robot breaks 7-year-old opponent's finger in Russia.
Out of rage?
A chess-playing robot broke the finger of its 7-year-old opponent during a match at a tournament in Russia. The boy was facing off against the robot when it mistakenly grabbed and broke the child's finger at the Moscow Open last week, according to local Russian outlets. The robot broke the child's finger. This, of course, is bad, President of Moscow Chess Federation Sergei Lazarev said.
Did the robot do that as a bad sport because he was getting beat, or did he do it because he's dumb? Like, the maybe child it's a good thing that the robot's dumb.
The child reportedly made his next move on the chessboard before the robots, a large automated arm powered by artificial intelligence, had time to recalculate and mistook the boy's finger for a chess piece.
So maybe they're not as smart as we think.
Maybe it decided he'd had enough of that 7-year-old and he was going to break his little finger. I'm scared.
We all should.
Moral of the story.
Yeah.
So I'm scared. All right.
Aliens or robots? What will do us in first?
Yes. Social media. You know how I feel. Social media will be ultimately what gets us all. But if that doesn't, it's going to be because an alien or a robot comes and gets us first.
Yep. All right, so Wilbon's going to join us in studio coming up. If you want to weigh in on the Bears or the White Sox, 312-332-3776.